Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm John Norman, and alongside me, Steve Harmison, looking back at what turned out to be a cracker of a final day's play at the SCG. England getting away with the draw in the gloom. It means that they can't lose 5-0. In your face, Aussies. You're listening to Following On. So if you're listening to the show, you no doubt know by now that England clung on. It was slow going at times today. It certainly didn't look like it was going to be approaching a classic when three wickets went in the first session. Zach Crawley, head and shoulders, the best batsman on show, 77 to his name. But he was the third man out, leg before wicket, to a brutal and quite brilliant Yorker from Cameron Green. Hamid, unfortunately, not sure when we're going to see him play for England again. He was caught behind for 9, an over after being dropped by Alex Carey. He was then caught by Alex Carey. David Milan, whose tour has just slid away, really, after a solid start. He was bowled for 4. And 30 without loss to become 122 for 3 at lunch. The afternoon session, though, was slow going. Just the one wicket to fall, that of Joe Root, as Ben Stokes and also Johnny Bairstow once again reunited with great effect. 174 for 4 at tee, and surely once England got past the second new ball, they'd fancy their chances of easing their way to the conclusion and maybe shaking hands with an hour to go. Well, that did not happen. Stokes was caught at first slip off the bowling of Nathan Lyon, and then Pat Cummins brought himself on and dismissed Butler and Wood inside 3 balls, both LBW, to put Australia slap bang as favourites to win the match. When Johnny Bairstow was caught at silly point for 41, it seemed destined, with over 10 overs to go, that it was going to be going Australia's way. But Jack Leach did what Jack Leach does, and actually played some beautiful shots along the way, alongside Stuart Broad, got England within 13 balls of safety before he was dismissed, thanks to Steve Smith, of all people. It was too dark, you see. They couldn't bowl the pacemen. Steve Smith was chosen ahead of Labuschagne, much to the scorn of Shane Warne. Well, it was the right call. Celebrations like the ones we used to see when Michael Clarke took those wickets against India, or maybe when Kane Williamson took those wickets against England. But the result was the same as when Kane Williamson took those two wickets, because Stuart Broad and Jimmy Anderson batted out the last two overs with aplomb to seal the draw. Means that England go to Tasmania 3-0 down rather than 4. Right, let's chat to Harmy.
Story of the day.
Okay, Harmy, well, look, it is an age-old tale, a sporting tale that goes back to the 1800s. David against Goliath. David rocks up in Goliath's house. The odds are stacked against them. Can they possibly upset the odds? Can they possibly walk away with the result that nobody was tipping them to? And you know what we found out today? Yes, Cambridge United can beat Newcastle in the FA Cup.
Don't get me started on that one, because I set my alarm at
10-3 to get up to watch it. And it was like, I thought I was watching England's batting unit bat all over again, the way Newcastle got to the edge of the box and just kept shooting it into the Gallagher end or the Leeds end. Oh, I feel so sorry for them supporters. They tried their best, honestly. From 25 yards out from goal, Newcastle's effort was there, but boy, do we look like we could not nowhere near scoring goals. And that centre forward needs to come in, as much as England's top order might need a little bit of a reshaking, a rejig, because again, we haven't got the board.
If Newcastle needs goals, England need runs. Let's start with the positivity. England have come away with a draw. They're not going to lose 5-0. And they can take individual successes from this test match. You know, what?
100%.
As England get on that plane to go to Tasmania, they can feel hopeful for a number of reasons. Firstly, it is really becoming more and more evident just how that lack of preparation cost them. You know, Now it's Australia starting to lose. Look, and we see this every time. I don't care what anyone says. But you may disagree. You played in test matches. But for me, when a team goes 3-0 up, they win the Ashes with 2 to play. They lose 5-10%, because they've accomplished what they needed to accomplish. I don't think it's possible to go and go to that fourth test match and retain 100% the intensity that you have shown in the first three. And I think we've seen that through the number of missed chances in the field from Australia. And the reverse is also true. Zach Crawley is suddenly looking like a bloke who's played 2 tests rather than one who hasn't played one for 3 months. Johnny Bairstow is looking like a guy that's played a test match and has got one under his belt. Ben Stokes looks, you know, a much better batsman now than he did at the start of this test series. And I think there's a reason for that. So I think that England, as long as England can get something from that Tasmania test, I think that, yes, they've been beaten by the better side. Yes, they were embarrassed for 3 test matches. But essentially, they came into it undercooked. They made the wrong decision at the Gabba, and they made the wrong decision with the team selection. And that, unfortunately, and I feel for Chris Silverwood, by the way, because he would have been watching this test match from his hotel room. I'm not sure if he's been allowed out yet. I imagine it would have been pretty bittersweet to look at that game and see the 3 top performers for England being 3 players that were left out of the first test.
Yeah, and it's what we've been saying all along, that England have arguably beat England. Australia have been fantastic. The bowling unit's been unreal. Every time they've made a change, the person that's come in succeeded. But I think I still stand by the fact that England have beat England. Whether you lose 10% when you go 3-0 up, I think Australia their bowlers looked a bit tired there at the end. The preparation, yes, we knew the preparation wasn't going to be great. It's never going to be great coming back off the world, half of them coming in off the World T20. So you can go on selection. You know, Mark Butcher, he says he bangs on and he makes a great point. You rest players and you rotate players to get to the Ashes. And then 5 games, you pick your best team in 5 games. You don't try and reinvent the wheel, which they did in Brisbane. Made them impossible to play the best side in Adelaide. And then they come up short again in Melbourne. So I think Australia have been good, but I think England have contributed to the fact that the position they're in. Talk about positives in this game. Yes, there have. There have been a lot. But again, come back to the selection issues. You know, the players that we're bringing in because we made the wrong calls at the start are the ones that have stood up. Bairstow, Broad. Stuart Broad, who doesn't look like scoring a run. He doesn't look even close to defending a ball for the best part of 3 or 4 years. Well, look, just look what he's just done there. 35 balls facing, you know, this bowling attack because he knows it means something. You know, when people say, oh, you lose the edge when you get... You know, Stuart Broad has just stood up and showed true character. Stuart Broad has just stood up, and that there is as good as he's bowling for me, because that there has saved the test match. You know, the determination and the will not to lose in that situation hats off to the lad. And you're talking about positives. Two or three of the positives of England. Maitland probably not playing Hobart. Is Bear still going to play in Hobart? And his thumb's bust. Stokes can't play. Send him home now. Send him to New Zealand to see his family, or send him home tonight. Don't even contemplate taking him to Hobart. You know, we're just gonna make him even worse. And then you get to what's going to happen if they take Stokes to Hobart, or they try and a side injury is going to be 8 weeks minimum. So if you take him to Hobart, you play him at Hobart, it's 8 weeks from there. And then if you have the harebrained idea to take him to the Caribbean, you're basically doing what you've done and taking him to the Ashes. You're taking him to the Caribbean with no cricket behind him and expect him to run up and bowl bounces for, you know, 12, 14 overs in an innings and bat. You're just making it a whole lot worse. So unfortunately for England fans, you might have to wait for a while before you see Ben Stokes again. Mark Wood was a huge positive. I thought the bowling unit again stuck to their task reasonably well. I thought Zach Crawley was brilliant this morning. I really did. I thought it was the first time we really seen the signs of it was Australia's bowlers tiring. He put them on the back foot. They were bowling a length, put the bad ball away. He made Stark and Cummins change their game plans and change their lengths, because at the minute they just seemed to run up, landing it somewhere near off stump. And they were getting rewarded because they were either getting a plane miss or they were getting a patted back. Exactly why I wanted Zach Crawley to play from the very, very first test match. You know, some of the things we've said on the Cricket Collective and guests we've had on, we can turn around and say, right, rewind back and listen to that again. We asked for Crawley to play. We said, you know, we've got to play. You know, picking the right team is so important. And everything we've asked for, before it's happened, England have done completely opposite. And that's why they're in the position where they're in. So I want Crawley to play right from the very start. Broad had to play. He's played over 150 times. No point taking him just to play one test match, one meaningful test match. So it's been a shambles. But fortunately for the England captain and the England coach, if they're going to survive, they're not going to have 5-0 on their CV, because... I thought England might have had a chance to get something out of this the last two games, but slowly but surely, as this test match was going, it was staring you in the face of a 5-0. If it wasn't for Zach Crawley counter-punching this morning, then it possibly would have been. Ben Stokes' bails had come off, where we would have been having this conversation last night. So, you know, there are positives going into the Hobart test match.
Okay, so let's pick our team then. Okay, so Crawley and Burns, because Hamid.
Yeah, Crawley and Burns.
Hamid is not going to play. Hamid will maybe go to Pakistan. Maybe.
Yeah, he's shot for me, unfortunately. The young man, I think he needs to go away. And I don't like this horses for courses. Oh, you can only play in such and such a place. It's like Mark Wood can't play in England. David Milan can only play in Australia. No, they're good players. They've got to be able to play.
But you
everywhere.
Do that. You do that with bowlers.
You do that with bowlers on certain surfaces, but you've got a batting unit. It's a batting unit. This is the thing that annoys me when you do that. When you've got a batting unit of six men, we don't have the perfect game. If we have the perfect game, all six of them get hundreds. It doesn't work like that. You have to have a unit that's going to be able to, you have all different characteristics and be able to get on a pitch, whatever surface it is around the world, and be able to get 350, 400. I'm saying 350. 400 is the minimum you should be looking to get. Now, you've got to be able to, in a series, three match, five match, you've got to be able to stand up and put scores on the board. Yeah. So your openers will get you off to a good start.
I understand. I understand that, but we don't have them.
Well, then they're not good enough. Not good enough.
Yeah, but we don't have those players. We know that we don't have those players. Like you say, horses for courses and all that shouldn't be part of the plan. But David Milan is a horses for courses pick.
No, he's not. He's not. He's not a horses for courses pick for me.
Okay, so let me ask you this question, right?
Ed Smith decided.
Let me ask you this question. if this had been Pakistan, we're playing Pakistan now. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Ashes is next year. Would Milan have been brought in for that fourth or fifth test of the summer against India? Third or fourth test. I can't quite remember exactly which test it was.
Yeah, of course you would. If he's the best, the next best option. Yeah, of course he is. Look at David Milan. We've gone through number three. Openers, whatever we've had. I think David Milan was quite a safe pick. He wouldn't have been my pick, but he was quite a safe pick in the fact that we'll probably get 2 years out of him. He's in his 30s, two and a bit years out of him. We're going to Australia. We're going to play in England. We're going to the Caribbean. He'll average 35. But at the end of the day, 35 is better than what we've been averaging. You know, he's an experienced head on a bare shoulders.
I don't think he plays if England are touring Pakistan and then Bangladesh.
For me, folks, this whole thing was complicated by Ed Smith. Ed Smith didn't like Stuart Broad, and Ed Smith decided that David Milan couldn't play in English conditions. Off the back of David Milan getting 100 in Australia, and then last summer he got 199 and another big, big 100. He can play. He can play. But he's not going to average 45. But in this team at the minute, 35 is probably good enough to get you in the team and keep you there for a little bit. I'm not saying that's the right, but I'm saying of options we've got, I think he's a safe pair of hands with an experienced head on her calm shoulders. And I think that's where Hamid, if we were going to Pakistan tomorrow, I couldn't pick Hamid off the back of what he's just done. He's had four scores of under 10.
He still needs to go back and score some runs during 2022. Exactly. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that I reckon they will keep that in mind. Keaton Jennings was going to go to Sri Lanka at the start of last year just because he's got his successes come against India and Sri Lanka.
But if you're going to pick players like that, you're never going to be successful. You've got to give somebody a chance to play all around the world, we haven't
stopped giving people chances and they haven't come up with a good. So maybe it is time we just isolate what they're good at and then pick them for those tours.
But why do we have this sort of fixation in this country of getting a player 23, chucking him in an England team, discarding him when he's 25 and he's not a better, the best part of him doesn't come in till he's sort of 27, 28, 29.
I think that's a separate point. I'd say that's it.
Yeah, but I'm sitting with Mark Butcher and I'm going, Mark Butcher's saying, you know, when I was 23, 24, I got picked and it was a lot of injuries that I got back in the team at 29 and they got the best out of me at 29 into my 30s. Now you look at somebody like Usman Khawaja, he's 35, being brought back into the side. You know, Matt Hayden did it. Justin Langer did it. There's a whole host of players who have got back into their international sides when they get into their sort of late 20s. Now, we have discarded so many players who might have technical faults, but actually they're a lot wiser and a lot better than what they were when we discarded them. So a good selector, a good watcher of the game who understands the game and batting and whoever, whatever you need to do to pick players on temperament and everything that goes with it, should be looking at these Adam Lyths, should be looking at these Sam Robson, should be looking at these players who we've had a go. And if they are, if they're different or if they're better than what they were, you know, James Vince's and all that. James Vince is hiding at number five for Hampshire. He doesn't want to play for England, in my opinion, because he's hiding at number five. If James Vince wants to play cricket for England, he has to bat at number three for Hampshire, score a boatload of runs and put a few technical issues right that he had. He might have done that. We don't know. But it's no good hiding down at number five. Yeah, the likes of, say, Elias and Robson, have they put right what they got dropped for the first place? Are they better cricketers now than what they were when we picked them in the first place? Is their temperament better than what we picked them in the first place? And they're the questions I think a selector that's outside this bubble would see straight away. And then you'd pick them to come into the side. We're talking about Usman Khawaja potentially not playing in this next game, because he's 35 and you've got Travis Head and Harris who are younger. But we also could see Usman Khawaja open the baton at 35 with David Warner in his mid-30s. And they're looking exactly what Stuart Broad is asking for England to look at, which is pick your side, best side for the next game. You can have one eye on the future, but don't look too far in the future because you're never going to win. And that's what England have done. They've looked far too far ahead. They've tried to reinvent the wheel with so many people having their say in the back room and justifying their jobs. And we're 3-0 down in the Ashes. Possibly should have been 4-0 down going into Hobart.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Okay, so Crawley, Burns, Milan, Root.
Yeah.
Who's at five?
Well, it depends on if Ollie Pope is going to keep wicket or not.
I don't think he is. Is he?
That would be the million-dollar question for me. Obviously, Bairstow can't keep wicket because he's bust his thumb.
Yeah. Best,
looks like Butler's out. I don't think Butler will play in the next Test match.
I'm not sure we'll see Butler again.
No, for form and potentially fitness. I actually thought Ollie Pope did very, very well behind the stumps. Can we play him in a one-off game? When I look at it and I think, right, I'm going to pick my best team. If I'm going to pick my best team, I'm going to play Ollie Pope. I'm going to play Ollie Pope as a wicketkeeper. I'm not going to pick Sam Billens. There's no longevity in picking Sam Billens because if we had time, we would have flown Ben Foulkes in and Ben Foulkes would have had the longevity. So you might as well give Ollie Pope the gloves and then you've got somebody that's played and got Test match hundreds. So for me, I'd pick Dan Lawrence at five, I'd pick Johnny Bairstow at six, and Ollie Pope as wicketkeeper at number seven. That would be my batting unit. I'm giving Lawrence a chance. I've took him on the if he's good enough to go on the tour, and we've got a space that's opening, I'd pick him in there. Bairstow, I'd try and convince him to play even with the injury. Butler and Stokes will be out. For me, I give Lawrence a chance at five, Bairstow at six, and Pope at seven. And that would be my best batting unit that I could possibly pick. I don't see the point of picking Billens. I really don't. He's there for cover. Covers Pope. If he wakes up next Thursday morning poorly, then obviously he plays. Because there's no chance Johnny keeping wicket either. So you needed to get him to come. But I really don't see the point of picking him. He's got no first-class track record behind him. Hasn't played a lot of great deal of first-class cricket in years. He's travelled the world carrying drinks and played franchise 2020 cricket. If you're going to go a one-off game with a keeper, well, Pope's just done well for a 70-over burst. I'd give him the gloves, and I know I'm going to get more runs out of Pope than I am out of Billens.
It's interesting. I was kind of torn because, you know, I don't know if you remember, I don't think I mentioned it on air, but I remember chatting to you a few weeks ago. Billings' first-class record is actually not bad. And I just wondered why he hadn't even been mentioned, really. Will McPherson of the Evening Standard tweeting or reporting that he's favourite to take the gloves, but that was before Pope. you know, tipped the gloves in the second innings. And you're right, he stood up well behind the stumps. Not that that's going to happen in the pick test, the day-night test. Took a couple of some good catches. Maybe the fact that he's got the recent, you know, he has played. The only thing I'd say, though, is Billings has been playing in the Big Bash. What would you prefer? Someone who's game ready in that regard, or someone like Lawrence who hasn't picked up a bat in 3 months?
That's a valid point as well. That is a good point. But what message are you sending to Dan Lawrence? You are one of the best 17 players to go on an Ashes trip, and we're not going to pick you because we're going to pick somebody who's driven 900 miles to get here. You know, a day before we leave for Hobart. I think that's the message. The message I would say, I would be thinking, is I've picked Lawrence to come and play in the Ashes. There's a batting spot available. Why would I not pick him? So that would be my initial thoughts on that. I understand the Billings bit. He has been playing, but he's been playing hit and giggle cricket. He's been playing franchise 2020 cricket. You know, he's been looking to, you know, what has he done in practice that's going to get him in the position to face Stark, Cummins, well, possibly not Stark, but Cummins, Nisa, or Richardson, Boland, and Lyon down at Hobart. So it's an either way to go for me, but I think the message I'd be sending is I've picked Lawrence in his 17. There's a space for a batter because we've got injuries. I'm going to pick Dan Lawrence.
And the bowlers, Wood, Robinson, Broad, Anderson, I take it?
Yeah, Wood, Broad, and Anderson, Robinson and Wood, bar and all, making sure that all are fit. Leach was innocuous, and he's going to be innocuous. Even though the pink ball test, we've got to remember, it's played largely in daylight.
Yeah, but it's Tasmania, not Adelaide.
Yeah, there's only small passages where it is in complete darkness. But I don't see the point of picking a spinner when I've only got four bowling options. So I'm going to go with the four best bowlers that we've had on show, which is Robinson at 8, Wood at 9, Broad and Anderson. I think Broad and Anderson didn't bowl a great deal later on yesterday when I was sort of apoplectic about Mark Wood bowling. Could they give Overton a go? I can't see your point of going back to what you're picking Wokes as a batsman, and you can't pick Wokes as a batsman in a four-man attack. Wood, Broad, and Anderson will have to go again. Wood will have to find some energy to get through one more last go before he has 6 weeks off, or 6 weeks without a test match. And if Robinson's fit, he walks back into the team.
Right then. Harmy, get on the Rattler back up north and we will be reunited. You'll be on the Cricket Collective with Neil Manthorpe on, God knows what day it is in the UK. I think that will be going out on Tuesday morning and it will be repeated on TS2, TalkSport 2, Tuesday night. We've got live exclusive cricket as well. West Indies versus Ireland on Tuesday on TalkSport 2. That gets underway at 2 p.m. Jared Kimber, Andrew McKenna, Jade Dernbach, Tim Murta and Abhishek Jhunjhunwala will be talking you through that one and shouting a bit probably. And then there'll be more cricket on Friday, the third ODI. And of course, the fifth test gets underway. So plenty going on here on TalkSport 2 and on the Following On podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.